This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Your money matters. That is our show at this time each week, brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage and Mr. Kurt Rogers. Their number, 720-895-0500. And once again, as I always say, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. And with that, we will welcome Mr. Rogers.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking outside at those mountains.
I know.
And I'm like,
we should have pre-taped and played some golf today or something.
Man. It's just a beautiful, it's fall Colorado weather. Sandals, shorts, some people wearing sweaters.
I think it's going to get like 70 today.
And I'm glad we got the snow. The fires are like 92% contained. It's just beautiful weather out there. It's nice. This is why we live in Colorado.
Absolutely. Did you get to watch any golf this weekend?
I watched on Saturday. I didn't get a chance to watch on Sunday. It was just
Dustin Johnson, 20 under.
and he did it with like he was just taking a walk.
I know.
And one of the things I like about Justin, before we get into this, is I saw a small piece on Sunday when he was playing. A guy was setting up to hit, and as soon as the guy hit, you know how they follow the ball.
Sure.
As they went to Johnson, he was in his backswing. He wasn't hesitant. He knew. He said, "Come on, let's go. I'm playing golf." He had a rhythm and a way he went.
Right.
He doesn't slow down. He moves. If it's your turn, hit the ball. It's my turn next.
You ever played one of those guys that just analyze every hit they're going to do for about 4 minutes before they hit the ball?
Yeah. Isn't that Bryson? He seems to take forever. I like him, but he seems to take forever. He's measuring the barometric pressure and all that. I'm like, just hit the ball. You know, it's a four-hour game. Come on, hit the ball.
Masters, though, it is a cool tournament.
It's just, wouldn't you like to, I'd love to play the course, but if I can't, I'd like to walk that course.
Yeah.
It looks like they go out there with scissors and cut around the trees and
it's
stuff.
Crazy.
It's just an amazing, it's a beautiful thing. If you're a golfer, it's pretty, and he made the comment. He said, ever since I was a little kid.
Sure, yeah.
This is where I wanted to be.
Absolutely.
And he made it.
Yep, man.
He's such a class act.
Yeah, he sure is, for sure. And also is Affordable Interest Mortgage. So if you need anything to do with mortgages, I hope you'll give Kurt and his team a call, 720-895-0500. And, boy, Thanksgiving coming up. And
Gobble Day.
Man, how do we go from March to end of November? Man.
I think everybody wants to get in a sprint and run through the rest of the year so we can get rid of 2020.
Yeah, no doubt.
We want this in the past. We want to move on to something else. I mean, everybody is like, okay, let's get past this year. It's we want it over.
So do you do any of the cooking in your house for Thanksgiving?
No.
Me neither.
I did one year. I cooked a whole meal, and it actually turned out pretty good. It took us 2 days to clean the kitchen, but it turned out all right. I dirtied every dish in the house.
No doubt.
But it was fun.
Well, yeah, we're looking forward to that. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to talk mortgages today, and but when you look back at all this, let's just kind of talk about the effect that it's, you know, had on the economy and mortgages and all as your business as a whole. I mean, if you look back over the last several
months. Our business in January and February was moving along at a little bit faster pace than normally in the first quarter. And when COVID hit, it kind of slowed down a little bit. There was this little lag time. So there was, and then all of a sudden, you know, I think they shut us down on March 13th, but all of a sudden around April 1st, April 10th, all of a sudden the phone started ringing. Rates to come down and everything started, and it didn't go from 0 to 20 to 50. It went right to 90, and it was just nonstop. The calls, you just couldn't keep up, and it hasn't stopped because of where rates are.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what they learned in 08, they put into practice when this hit. They knew that they had to be out in front of it if with the rates where they are to keep people buying homes, keep money flowing. They knew that.
Right.
So when they incentivized and they dropped the rates, it got people trying to quit thinking about COVID and moving forward. And to me, it was a smart thing to do. Then they came out with PPP, so it allowed a lot of businesses to keep going. So, yeah, it's affected us.
Yeah, and everybody, for sure. All right, let's talk about rates a little bit. And, of course, so much unknown still. I mean, the election thing is just so much going on. And so, but the market seems to be doing pretty good. But let's talk about rates and what a lot of people think they may go up after the first year.
A lot of people think that I hear they'll call me up, customers will call me up, well, rates are going to go up, I need to get the loan, I got to get it closed before he becomes president. While I get that, that's the divide we have in the country. I don't see that happening. All indications are that we're not even going to be close to that. Hmm. The feds have guaranteed that the rates are going to stay where they are for a long time. What has traditionally driven rates up is when the inflation gets above 2%. Well, first of all, inflation's not going up, but they've even said we don't care about that. The feds have gone out and they've thrown money and bought mortgage-backed securities, which let the lenders believe that they're going to make sure that the market stays strong. So that's one of the reasons things are still going forward with that. And in order for rates to go up, if you think about it, if the economy is always on that edge, we don't know if it's going to fall or rise, or if it starts going down, rates have to go down. Because the economy doesn't survive if you don't keep a couple industries moving. Some of those are mortgages. And the only way to do that is to lower the rates and get the cash. That's where the government comes in. So they're backing up all these mortgages with all their money. Now, the downside to that is it's going on the deficit. Everything they're doing is going on the deficit.
Right.
So you got to weigh, do we take the bullet now? Do we take it later? Well, if you're a politician, just kick the can down the road. There's another guy that'll do the job.
Sure.
So, no, I don't foresee the rates going up to the earliest of June of next year. The feds have said it'll be all of 2021 before they do anything.
Right.
So I think they're going to stay in the range that they've been in, 2.5 to 3. Mm-hmm. That's just where they're going to be.
Right. Now, when we look at, job loss, all the different things, a lot of people have gone through that. And while, we've certainly gotten a lot of jobs back, there's still a lot of fear out there because this whole pandemic, I think one of the biggest things that have got people is just the unknown. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring with this, So how can people protect themselves from losing their home?
And I've talked about this for about the better part of 6 to 8 months. If you've owned a home, if you've been in a house for 10 years, you understand what happened in 2008. And again, like I said, what the feds did, I think, was very good. But in this position we are now, you've got the highest amount of equity in your home as you've ever had in your life. Mm-hmm. Homes are worth, I had a guy the other day, said, well, I think my house is worth $465. It came in at $545. He missed it by $80,000.
Jeez.
You just don't imagine how much equity you have. So when the equity's up and they're basically giving you money free, there's a way to tap that money without paying for it. And it's hard for people to have that concept. I did some research, and in 2008, there were 7 million people to foreclose from 2008 to 2010. And of those 7 million, they had over 32% equity in their home. Had they been able to tap that equity that they had, mm-hmm. had set it up prior to the downside,
right.
they'd have been able to make payments for 6 months to a year. How many of them could have kept their homes, could have kept their credits, even though they lost their jobs? There are ways to do that now. You can set up a loan to where you have access to some of that equity, and it costs you nothing till you take it. So spend a few dollars now. Get that opportunity set up for yourself. So let's say the economy never does that. Let's say it never goes down. You never lose your job. Mm-hmm. You don't have unexpected bills come in. Don't spend any of the money. Cancel it, but at least have it set up to where it's there. So it protects you going forward. And that's one of the ways you're in a perfect position now because of where rates are and the equity you have to take advantage of it. And that's kind of what I talk about. I call it being mortgage safe. You can actually, my neighbor protected her house for 18 months last time.
Right. Now, when we look at home values a little bit, let's talk about that a minute. I mean, do you see the home values continuing to increase? You think we're going to level out?
I think in Colorado, they're going to continue to increase because we have a lot of people from the East Coast and the West Coast mm-hmm. that want to come live here. And it's driving up prices. It's driving up demand. As of the 5th of this month, there was the lowest day supply of homes on the market in the last 12 years. I mean, they're barely getting 20-day supply of homes. And normally you got to be around 90 to be 100 to have it good. It's really, there's nothing out there. And for those that are listening, if you're out trying to buy a home, you understand exactly what I'm telling you. You can't find anything that you would buy, much more even live in sometimes, without there being a battle to get it. So it's becoming tough. New builds, a lot of those are going quickly. So I believe that home values will continue to go up, but not at the pace that they were going up. Even with the short supply, there's a sense of control there to keep it down. I think they'll go up 3-4% probably for about another year. And then I think you'll start to see it just settle. But that's just a guess. That's an opinion. I should go to Vegas with that.
Absolutely. Kurt Rogers is our guest today on his own show, and we call it Your Money Matters. Again, affordable interest mortgage, 720-895-0500. And, hey, it's always a free consultation. So if you want to call Kurt, see what's going on with your individual case, and maybe you're not looking to doing something till the spring or something, or summer, go ahead and make the call, 720-895-0500. And at least establish that relationship with Kurt. Now, let's talk about, I asked you how it affected your business, the COVID and the whole pandemic, but let's talk about how that may have affected clients qualifying for mortgages. What hiccups have you seen with this?
Well, there's actually been quite a few, and they consistently keep going. The first thing that came out, and it didn't take them but about 2 weeks for the lenders to start to change some of the qualifying guidelines, was they started to look very diligently at anyone that was on a commission. Let's say you have a salary, then a commission,
okay,
or a bonus. They would look at those real hard to see, is that number moving? Then they started looking at self-employed. And it's done nothing but, not, I won't say gotten worse, it's just gotten, they scrutinize it very much. Because if you're self-employed, the way they look at it, and your business gross revenue drops by 10, 15%, and your net sales drop by 10 or 15%, they'll call that declining income, and the possibility of it getting a loan becomes difficult. If it's 20%, they'll just tell you no.
Okay.
Even though we have a guy that's a farmer, for example, he makes $900,000 a year. He has no money made up till November. His money's made from November to December. He took all his crop in, now he sells it, that's when he makes his money. Mm-hmm. We are having a hard time getting him approved, understanding that's just the way his business works. And it's because of COVID, because of those tighter guidelines.
Right.
There's so many other hoops. That's one of the things COVID has done. Self-employed people, if you're self-employed, that meaning which you're a 1099, you want to get a loan, you have to do a P&L, and you have to have your bank statements match your P&L. So if you're saying you're making $100,000 a year, you have to show a P&L, profit and loss, all the way up till the end of October, that shows that you've made $80,000, maybe $72,000.
Right. Yeah.
And then you got to have the bank statements to back it up, that you've put that in the accounts. That's kind of the scrutiny. So, yeah, COVID's changed some of that stuff. It's reduced the hours of a lot of W-2 people.
Sure.
You know, some are working from home, and they're not putting in 40, they're putting in 30. Well, to a lender, they look at it as a risk. If it continues, if they don't have a cure, and you continue to lose the hours, you won't have the money to make to qualify to keep the home. Mm-hmm. So that's where the guidelines, if you've been furloughed, they want some proof that you're going to be there. They need letters from your employer, those kind of things. If you've gone under forbearance, now forbearance allows you not to make a payment, and it's not supposed to affect you. It doesn't. But it does make you get clean on the other side before they'll if you're not making payments, they want to see you have the ability to make them, so you got to come out of forbearance to do that.
Okay.
So COVID's had a lot of different things that have moved along. It doesn't mean they're saying no. They're just requiring more documentation and proof that you're going to be able to make those payments.
Absolutely. Once again, you're listening to Your Money Matters. When we come back, we recently did a refinance with Kurt, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. Again, if you got any mortgage questions, 303-477-5600. Hi, this is Scott Watley once again to talk about one of my favorite stores, the Outdoorsman's Attic. If you're looking for great deals on your outdoor gear, head on over to the Outdoorsman's Attic. From waterfowl gear, decoys, ice fishing, to big game hunting, they've got you covered. If you've got some gear you just don't use anymore, take it over to the attic and they will sell it for you. They've also got guns and ammo. If your firearm needs a little work, see Scott the Gunsmith and let him know you heard about him here on Sportsman of Colorado. Hunting, fishing, and camping gear at tremendous savings, all at the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hamden. Stop paying retail and get to the Outdoorsman's Attic.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DNDTireService.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Glad to have Kurt Rogers in studio with us. And a lot of times we have guests on. And it is always nice when Kurt does a show here on mortgages and kind of explains a lot of things of what's going on. And as I mentioned before the break, we did a refinance with Kurt, and so thankful that we had somebody that could walk us through the process, someone we could trust, and just help us out. And, man, it was such a relief, Kurt, when we get that final call and you go, hey, we're closing on a day. All right. So those are the magic words there. But let's kind of just take a minute and just kind of walk through the process. Maybe there's first-time homebuyers out there. They go, hey, we don't even know where to start, you know. But let's just kind of walk through the process.
I did a little research on this, and one of the most stressful things people are going through, because there's so many people doing
sure.
it, is getting a mortgage loan, either buying a house or refinancing. And the article stated that it's the process that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm in the business in kind of does, but it really doesn't at times to the degree. The process of doing a loan starts out with the application. And that was when we sat down and I gathered information. A lot of people don't want to give all the information. And the less information you give us, the harder the process becomes, because the lender's going to find out. They're going to know a lot about you. There are ways that they can do the background checks, and it's not the credit report. There's other things they do. They're going to find out your history. Your name's going to come up. That social's going to come up in a lot of different areas. But from that, it then goes to what's called pre-submission, which means my people would look at the file, and they're going to do an integrity check. We're going to verify the correct spelling, the correct address. We're going to verify your past address histories. We're going to verify information that you've given us that it is correct to the best of our knowledge with what we do. From there, it then gets submitted to the lender, and then they do their integrity check before it ever gets to the underwriter. Now sometimes that process from the application to the lender can take 2 days, can take 5 days. Just depends on what gets caught. Then all of a sudden it goes to the underwriter. Once the underwriter gets it, the underwriter has guidelines and different parameters and overlays from the lender that they have to meet. So they're looking at it, what I call, from the back to the front.
Right.
They're looking at the problems that could be created here and bring it all the way back to prove it over here. When we look at things from the front to the back, they kind of look at them the other way. So once they get all that information, they will then find what we call conditions. well, we need an updated bank statement, or we need to know why you had this property over here. Do you still own that business over here? You know, little, they're going to come up, so they're going to ask what they're called conditions. Once we give those conditions back, then what gets sent out is called a CD. And CD is called a closing document. And many years ago, they changed it from the HUD one that we were all used to a closing doc. And the change meant that when you get a closing doc on a loan, that means that those numbers are accurate. You must receive that 3 days before the close, and those numbers can't change. Where before, you could go to the close and the numbers change. They did that to protect the consumer. It's a great deal. But it also kind of gives us an idea that we're going to close within the next 3 to 5 days. Once that's done, they finalize the escrows, then we set the clear to close, and we close the loan. That's kind of the process. It can take sometimes 20 days. Other times it can take 60. Just depends on what they find as they go through that process.
And I'm so thankful that my wife handled all of that with you, because you would ask for something and...
Oh, she was amazing.
Had it, you know.
Heather loved her.
It would have taken me a year to find something.
Yeah, that's why I have Heather. That's my processor. She's the greatest on the planet. She would send something out to your wife. 15 minutes later, here are all the documents.
Right.
She even had flowers with it. There was extra stuff that we didn't necessarily need. Here, she just gave it to us. It was great.
Yeah.
Heather loved it. Made it so much simpler.
Yeah, no, it all works out. And we have to understand, because once people start the process, they think it should be over in 3 days. And you just have to set people's expectation, which you do a great job at, that, hey, this takes time. There's going to be times when they ask you for something that maybe we've already asked you for. An updated something. So, yeah, but people get frustrated with that, don't
they? Yes, they do. Because of regulations, because of COVID, kind of what I talked about before, COVID has actually made it to where they have to now do a verbal verification, not a written one. They used to do written ones. Send them out, get them back, week, fine. They have to do them 24 hours prior to close. If they can't get somebody to respond that you have a job, they won't close the loan verbally. And it can't be the secretary. It has to be somebody with authority to say you work there. And there's been loans that have taken, and that's kind of new. Those things are new because of COVID. Because I had a client the other day, they called to verify her job, and the number the lady never answered, so they called the second number, and it was a recording that we've closed business for the rest of the year. Now, we're 2 days away from closing, and all of a sudden, that business is out. Well, everybody threw their hands up. It was a mistake, but it took us an extra 24 hours to fix it.
Right.
So those things, all of a sudden, just pop up out of nowhere, and nobody knows they're going to happen. So, yeah.
And then if it's, I assume, a husband and wife qualifying, then that takes longer because you got two people than just a single person doing it.
Yeah, and a lot of times you'll throw in overtime. You'll throw in bonus and commissions and different other things or tips, and we got to verify that. They got to make sure, again, 24 hours before, those things are still happening. You got to get documentation. And it's not because they don't believe you. It's they don't believe you, right. If I can say that nicely.
Right.
They have to be able to, because if that loan goes south, one of the new regulations that came out many years ago, that underwriter is responsible for not doing their due diligence, and that underwriter has insurance to protect them against that claim.
Oh, really? Okay.
So if you think about it,
right,
they're on the hook for that money, so they want to make sure they've done everything that they can.
Right. Now, a lot of people lost jobs, maybe went to go do something else, and you've always talked about this. So if somebody was in, let's say, you know, a computer field, and for 20 years they lost their job, and now they're going to do landscaping. That's going to hurt them a little bit.
It can hurt them. I had a customer that we talked about this morning on that. He's going from a W-2 job to a self-employed job. Well, I can't count that income at all, period. I don't care if it's the same line of work. If you're going from self-employed to W-2, I need 30 days. But if you're going from W-2 to self-employed, you got to have a two-year history. So you can change jobs. The lenders don't necessarily concern themselves too much that if you went from an IT guy to a landscaper, if you're W-2'd here and you're W-2'd here, and that income, they want to see proof that you're making it. They want to see a couple checks. Then we're fine. It can count. But I've had, over the last couple of weeks, people, because of arguments at work, we're 30 days into the deal, and they just quit. So I said, okay, well, you got to go find another job. We can start all over.
Wow.
I'm going to get one in a week. Well, we got to start over.
Wow. That's not much fun for either one of you. Yeah, for sure. I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, but let's talk about the credit side of that a little bit, because no doubt there are some people that miss some payments, you know. And how does that hurt? I mean, do the banks care that the pandemic hit and, you know, they can see that you were perfect for 25 years of your life and now you had a couple of months, you missed something and you haven't missed anything now in the last 3 months? Do they care what you went through?
They care in the fact that they have empathy that you went through it. Because again, the guidelines, that they're restricted. They have to say no. If you have a 30-day late on a mortgage within the last year, you can still get a loan. If you have two 30 days, no, you can't.
Wow.
There's no the guidelines don't allow the. It's not a personal thing with them. It's mm-hmm. the guidelines. They have no choice. So when credit, when you look at your credit. A lot of people think that I should have a great credit score because I pay my bills on time. And I agree with that. But that's the paying your bills on time is only 36% of your score. There's so many other factors that come into play that can outweigh. I've seen people that have paid their credit perfect. They have 17 accounts. They never missed a beat. And they got a 610.
Really?
Yeah, and they've had it for 17 years.
Yeah.
Because of how they manage that credit. How close are they not being able to make a payment? If something happens, do they not have a backup? And if you manage, if you're not managing that credit accordingly, and we've talked about this in the past, you need to have a credit card. I've had seminars before and people say, well, I don't want a credit card. Understand the credit card helps you get a higher score to get a lower rate when you're trying to buy a home or a car.
Right.
The big items, it really comes into play. If you can't prove to a bank that you can pay the small stuff, they're not real anxious about letting you pay for the big stuff.
Sure.
So when you have a credit card, and some people say, well, I can't get one. Well, go down to your bank, give them $500 and get a credit card against that $500. They're insured, but it's a credit card on the bureau. Go out and charge $100. Pay back $90. Keep $10. Pay the payment on $10 for 6 months. Then pay it off. Then go do it again. Your score can move 50 to 70 points within a year just by doing that one item. It's how you manage the credit card.
So even if you have those, let's say, 17 accounts, you never use it. That doesn't help either.
No, you really need to use them. And don't close them. If you have some nice old accounts that you don't use anymore because of all the new cards and all the great stuff, do yourself a favor. Go charge $20 on one for gas or something. Then pay it off. Just use it every now and then.
Because that's going to hurt your average age of your credit.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
The balance that you have on your credit card versus the limit on your credit card, when it gets above 40 to 45%, it starts driving your score down. If it's at zero all the time, it'll drive your score down. And that is 34% of your score. So put those two together, that's 70. Pay your bills on time. Manage your credit cards, not your installment. Your mortgage loan, your credit cards, manage those accordingly, and you're going to be just fine. And the lender doesn't care if you have a $5,000 limit or a $500 limit. The amount of zeros don't matter. It's what's the percentage you've borrowed against it.
Gotcha.
And if you can't seem, let's say you have a $3,000 card, you can't seem to get that below $2,000, call up the credit card company and ask them to raise it to $4,000. Don't go spend the extra grand, but have them raise it to $4,000. Now all of a sudden you're down to 50%.
That'll put you in right ratios.
Your score will come up. I had one lady, she had five cards. The limit was $500. She owed $400 on all of them. We took $1,000 and paid them all down to $200. Her score went up 76 points.
Jeez.
On a grand.
Yeah.
She went from not being able to qualify at a good rate to getting one of the best rates that available. And it was just it's a minor move. We can help you. I'm not a credit repair person. I'm just telling you from 20 years of doing this, I've seen this happen over and over again. Pay attention to your credit. Get a free credit report. See if there's something on there that's erroneous. See what they're saying is you will have balances on.
Right.
Then call me and ask me, what should I do? I won't do a loan for you. I'll show you how to fix that before you get ready to do the loan.
Sure.
Because it's going to save you thousands of dollars.
And that's why I said earlier before the break, it's never too early to start the conversation because there may be some work to be done there.
I I'll be honest, 50% of the people that I'm helping now buy a home, I'm showing them how to get their score up to get better. Mm-hmm. If you have everybody says, well, my credit score is this. If you go get an online credit report, it's not going to be the right score. It's not what mortgage lenders look at when they see it. But if you have a 718 credit score, you might have to pay an extra eighth of a point in rate or a quarter of a point because of the hits to the loan. It's called they're called loan level pricing adjustments by Fannie Mae because your score is not high enough versus a 699 versus a 745. And there's easy ways to manipulate those numbers. Once you make the minor change, I can fix it in 5 days. You don't have to wait months.
Right.
And I can then show you how to do things. It's just a different way of how to keep your credit manageable because it lets the lenders know you pay attention to it. It's important.
Sure. 720-895-0500. And hey, have you ever wondered why the lenders keep asking for the same documentation? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at Enchanted Kitchens. At Enchanted Kitchens, it's all about the magic of design. Whether you're remodeling your kitchen or building a custom home, Enchanted Kitchens offers a full-service design center with multiple product lines to meet any budget. And right now, when you mention Haystack Help Radio, you'll receive 15% off your Europa brand cabinets. And after you visit their Experience Center in Englewood, you'll get a no-cost, no-obligation in-home design consultation. Hey, after all, the kitchen is the heart of every home. Call Enchanted Kitchens today, 303-376-7588. That's 303-376-7588. Enchanted Kitchens is a member of the Haystack Help Home Team.
Hi, Jack Corrigan for Len Lyle Chevrolet. Len Lyle Chevrolet is open and safe. It's truck month, and they have the best deals of the year on all trucks and SUVs, like up to $10,000 off on half-ton Silverados. Or come check out the all-new Tahoes and Suburbans for 2021. Len Lyle has been there for 35 years, and low overhead really does mean low prices. Check them out on the web, LenLyleChevy.com. Go east and pay the least. Chevy. Find new roads.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are. What are their feelings? I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Your money matters. And no bigger case than right here with your mortgages. And it, our show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, 720-895-0500 is the number. And give Kurt a call. I'm telling you, you will not find a better person that will help you and sit down with you, help you find the right loan for you. And Kurt, I've even known you, man, all the years of sending people from my church, whatever. And they go, man, he told me right now wasn't the right time to finance. I mean, you're just honest.
It might not be.
Yeah, you're just honest with people, and you try to, you know, you ask the right questions to figure out, hey, is this what you should do right now?
And people call me up and ask. I said, well, I'd probably wait a little bit. We want to buy a house, and we want to see what we qualify for. Well, you qualify for 600, but you probably should buy 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you qualify for 6, according to the ratios, you're good, but you got no money left over. And when you buy a house,
you need some money.
You're going to need some money because you're not going to move into it and not do something to it. Now, if you want to qualify and do it, but I'm at least going to tell you should look at those things. Don't put yourself to the max to where if there's a speed bump of life that comes along, you can't handle it.
Right. Now, I said before the break, it appears, in quotes, that sometimes you get asked for the same thing over and over and over and over. So why is that?
It's because there's certain requirements by the lender for certain documentation. And let's start with bank statements. When you send a bank statement, the transaction history, which is, you know, let's say I want 60 days of bank statements, and you go back to September 1st and go to October and just give me a transaction history, while that's informational, it's not what the lender wants, because a lot of times on the transaction history, it doesn't list the bank. It doesn't list their address. It doesn't list their phone number.
Oh, okay.
It might list their account number, and it might not even put your name. But without all of that information, that document means nothing. So when we come back and say, I need the actual bank statements, mm-hmm. folks are, well, I gave it to you. Well, yes, you did, but no, it's not the right format. I had a customer the other day. It says, you know, I need these bank statements, page 1 of 6, 6 of 6. They'll send me over the first 5 because they say page 6 is blank. I understand that page 6 is blank. But if it says 6 of 6, I need the blank page.
Yeah.
So they say, well, I throw them away. I've done it for the last 3 months. Okay, then go online, go to the account, and pull them up and resend them. I didn't even know I could do that. Those are the reasons. It seems repetitious, but it's really not. Another thing is, if you're sending over bank statements, and most people are not aware of this at all, if you're putting deposits in there, let's say you make $60,000 a year, and you're throwing in a $10,000 deposit out of nowhere. It's not trackable. It's just cash, or somebody wrote you a check. The banks want to know where that money came from. Mm-hmm. Now, if you transferred it from one account to another account, they want to see the other account. You may say, well, this is overkill on documentation. Again, we're back to regulations. There's a thing called anti-money laundering. They want to know where all the money comes from. They're required to. They have to ask those questions. Otherwise, they can't count it for either reserves or down payment or whatever you need. So they're going to ask you those things. So if you have 4 accounts and you give me one and there's transfers from these other 3, I'm going to end up needing these other ones to kind of match up to make sure the money's not drug money.
Right.
I'm sorry to say, that's just how they look at it. Documentation has expiration dates. Your bank statement's good for 30 days. If we go to 31 days, I need another statement. That's, again, the requirements. They're going to require these kind of same thing for income. I have to have the latest 30 days of income statements. I have to have insurance that is covering you past the funding date on the close. So it seems like we're constantly asking for documentation, but some documents expire.
Right. Now, if you get and we've talked with Mike Hills about this, you get a letter and it's a gift of money.
Yes.
Is that always going to be acceptable to the lender if you have a letter?
The first thing, caveat I'd put to that is the person related to who they're giving the gift to. Meaning which, if I want to give my kids a gift, I can give them a gift and that money's countable. If I want to give your kids a gift, I can't do it.
Really?
It has to be family. Mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, and or grandparent. Has to have a relationship. Now, a boss can give a gift.
Okay.
Of an employer. But there's an actual gift letter form. It has to say who's giving it. And some lenders will say, I want to see they had the money before you give it. That crosses a line to some people.
Wow, really?
Especially of our age.
Sure.
I'm giving my kid.
Right.
But they sometimes request that.
Man. Now, sometimes there's also conditions that come back from the underwriter. Why is that?
When we start the file, there are certain things that we know. As a broker, there's investigations that we can do to give us information. But once it gets to the lender, they have other programs. One of them is called MERS. MERS will track you if you've ever owned a home ever since you owned your first home. There's identification purposes that they go through, IRS tax transcripts. There's ways that they find out different names, different socials, different dates of birth, different addresses. And then they will dig further. There's property searches they will do to see if you've ever owned one. Even if it's your first-time home buyer, there's searches that the lender does. Well, we don't get to see those. So when we start the process and we send in all the documentation, we're sending in, from what we know, here's what we need. Now, if you're self-employed, we're going to ask you for a P&L. You don't have to necessarily give it to us to start, but we're going to need it before we close. Mm-hmm. We know that. But there are people out there, I've had customers that have owned 3 businesses, and they didn't claim them on their tax return. They were just small LLCs. They made a few dollars, and that's all there was. Well, guess what? They show up in the Secretary of State. Secretary of State wants to know what you did with them. Well, the customer will say, well, I closed it down. Well, it's still active on the Secretary of State. So guess what? We have to close it down before we can close the loan. Mm. And they're going to want to have, did you file taxes on it? Now, they may ask, go back to 17 or 16, say, let us see to make sure you didn't file taxes. And now you're not filing them for 19. It starts to create, is there gaps in what you're doing? So there's where the conditions come up that we have no clue about at that point. That's why certain conditions, again, they're just trying to verify all the information you've given them is correct because they are looking for fraud. A lender, in everything they do, is looking to make sure that you are not committing fraud. That is the reason they ask you to fill out and get tax transcripts. Mm-hmm. You may turn in a tax return and a W-2. They want the transcripts to make sure all three jive, that you didn't lie, because the IRS is going to give them what they filed. Your tax return that you give us might not be the actual one. And there are people that will try to give me a bogus one, not understanding the transcripts are coming.
And that can't be good.
Well, no. Well, it's real simple. Say, I can't help you.
Right. No doubt.
But, yeah.
Now, let's talk about appraisals a little bit. Let's talk about that process a little. And first of all, you don't pick the appraiser.
That's against the law.
Yeah.
I can't even talk to the appraiser.
And the realtor really doesn't have much input either there, right?
No, the realtor, if it's a purchase, the only realtor that can really talk to him is the selling agent, and they can't. They're very limited in what they can say. The lender can't even talk to the appraiser. They can talk to the AMC who hires the appraiser, but the appraiser's kind of been put off limits so that there can be no coercion in a value. Okay. That's the purpose of that.
And how long is that taking now? You make a call and you need to get an appraisal.
Some places can do it in 7 days. Some take 2 weeks. VA appraisals, depending on if they're up in the mountains, can take up to 3 weeks. Mountain property sometimes can take longer because there's fewer of the appraisers, and they're busy, so it's hard to get them. But a normal appraiser, 7 to 10 days, we can get an appraisal done.
And let's say 10 years ago, basically, what an appraisal cost?
4.5.
And today?
$675 to $750. If it's a VA, it's a standard $750 across the board. Okay. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Just, it doesn't matter.
Why have they really gone up?
Because they've added that AMC.
Okay.
Years ago, Governor Cuomo out of New York decided he wanted to sue Fannie Mae because he thought they weren't paying attention to the appraisals. So they kind of agreed to come out with AMCs. AMC stands for Appraisal Management Companies. An appraiser doesn't work for a lender. Appraiser works for an AMC. He signs up with an AMC, he or she. When we place an order, we place the order with the AMC. The AMC randomly puts it out there and lets any appraiser want pick it up. So if I'm an appraiser and I'm in Lakewood and this appraisal comes in, it's going to be in Lakewood, and they want it 4 days, well, I'm going to be in that area. I'll just pick it. Or it's too far away. I'm doing too much stuff on the other end of town. I'll leave it alone. So an appraiser will pick it up. We'll say, okay, fine. That fee for that AMC is actually, when you get an appraisal, you actually see what the AMC gets paid, which is in addition to what the appraiser is. His fee is still the same, $400, $450. The rest of it's now going to the AMC. Some appraisers have raised theirs to $500. There are times, though, and here's a thorn in my side with appraisers. While they do a great job, they are not controlled on price. I had an appraiser that I needed done up in Golden, and because we wanted it a rush, it went from $900 to $2,700. He said, I'll do it, but I want to charge you $2,700.
Wow.
Yeah. And he wasn't breaking the law. And the customer was upset. He said, but I got to buy the house. I got to have it. So, yeah, let's go.
Man, that's crazy. Now, how long is the appraisal good for?
90 days.
All right. Can it be switched from one lender to another?
Yes and no. If it's an FHA, there's always conditions. If it's an FHA appraisals, those are good for 90 days, and they will transfer with the property. So if you go from this lender to that lender, that FHA appraisal goes the same. Same with VA. When you get to conforming loans, it's then up to the discretion of the new lender whether they'll accept it. If not, you have to get a brand new appraisal. If they will accept it, there's sometimes a transfer fee that's charged by the appraiser because he has to go back and redo it to meet the standards of that AMC and that lender.
Okay.
And they may charge an extra $100, $125 versus going and getting another one. Again, they kind of got you in the middle there. I think that's, it's just a computer. Change the name here and there and say, see ya, but no, they don't.
Sure. Now, can you, I mean, you've had to have these in your career where you know that house is worth more than you got it.
Yes.
Appraisal for.
Yes.
Can you, for lack of a better word, contest that?
Yes. You
that
can.
That's something you do or I do as the borrower?
As a client, you tell me I contest that. I'll say, okay, I will do that because I can't tell you whether they will or they won't. There are three or four main factors that come into play when you want to contest an appraisal. The appraiser is required by USPAF, which is the regulation covering appraisers, that the home has to be, in most cases, within a mile, preferably half a mile. It has to be within the last 6 months, may go a year. Has to be within 10 to 15% of the square footage. Those three things, when you're looking at the comps that the appraiser used, if they don't meet those, you got a better chance. If they meet those, you got a problem.
Right.
Because if he's met those, now what changes from that point is what concessions did they give for a basement, finished, not finished, ranch versus two-story. There's rules that they can manipulate there for value.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of grade was it? Does this one have hardwood floors and this one just have carpeting? Those kind of things can adjust the value on the other side. But those three main ones have to be there. If you then want to contest it, we have to find other comps that that appraiser did not use that match up to your comp meeting those three criteria with a higher value. Then you can submit it to them. It goes to the AMC who sends it to the appraiser for them to say, I did a bad job. I need to change it. I didn't do a good job. Or the appraiser said, no, I think my job's fine, have a nice life. It
right.
then goes back to the AMC, and they review it. If they agree with you, then they send it back and say, yes, we made a change. No, we didn't. I've had some as much as 90,000 off.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just the appraiser didn't think a walkout basement on a golf course had any value on a 5,000-square-foot house. Well, we got the better value.
Sure.
Because it was wrong. But yeah, you can change them. You're not going to get them changed for $5,000 or $10,000. They need to be moved 20 to 30 or 40 before that concession will be made.
Okay.
Whether it's a purchase or not, the funny thing you'll see every now and then is an appraiser will come in $3,000 to $5,000 light on the purchase price, and that's when you just want to strangle them because everybody gets angry.
Exactly. 720-895-0500 is the number. Affordable Interest Mortgage. We'll be right back.
Is your vision stopping you from enjoying your outdoor activities? Hi, this is Scott Watley for Stack Optical. Get by Stack Optical today and check out the Stack Sports Pack. One great frame where you can easily interchange the lenses to the tint you need for golf, bike riding, shooting, fishing, and yes, even driving. Stack Optical, family owned and operated, they're fully staffed and ready to help you with all of your optical needs, from eye exams, glasses, contacts, and yes, even repairs. And rest assured, Stack Optical has taken every precaution to ensure your safety and that you have a clean environment. 2233 South Monaco Parkway. 303-321-1578. Call them now. 303-321-1578. StackOptical.com. And remember, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law will handle your personal injury case so you can focus on healing. There's a lot of complexity with insurance companies, and you shouldn't need to worry about those details. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, won't even begin walking you through the liability until you've seen a good doctor. Not only does he want you to receive quality medical treatment, but Kevin Flesh also knows you will benefit financially from treating your injuries right away. He's seen people delay their medical treatment because they're worried about the cost, but your insurance company needs proof that you received treatment. Otherwise, they may try to question the validity of your injuries. Once you make that first free phone call to Flesh and Beck Law at 303-806-8886, go ahead and get all of the medical care you need. After you start to feel better, only then will Kevin Flesh help you through the legal process. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. And not just my friends, but truly, the staff at Lone Tree feels like part of our family. Since 2002, they have provided the very best care for our pets. What we love about Lone Tree Vet is the services they provide covers all of our needs, from preventative care, dentistry, pain management, cardiology, dermatology, and eye care, as well as emergency and critical care. They also offer veterinary surgery and orthopedic care. And when you need to get away, they have a fantastic boarding lodge and a cat boarding lodge that is amazing. If your pet gets to go along, they can even assist you with your travel health certificates. And when your dog needs a little extra instruction, check out the K9 Academy. They helped us so much when we got a new puppy last year. And then, of course, there is the spectacular grooming salon that you and your pet will love. All of this and more at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Oh, and check out the blogs to help you become a better parent at LoneTreeVet.com. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. Call 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. It's just one stop and all the care you need.
You have this box at home filled with random pieces of old jewelry, some of which you inherited from a family member and all of which you aren't using. You don't want to get rid of it because many of the pieces have sentimental value, but you don't really know how much they're worth. You don't even know which pieces are real. Bring that box, all of it, to Jesse and his team at Littleton Jewelry. They will take a look at everything for free. They'll let you know what's real and what's not, and they'll give you estimates. Then you decide what you want to do. Sell the pieces to Littleton Jewelry for a fair price. Sit down with the pre to start working on a new custom design created from the old pieces. Get appraisals from Jesse and his team on the more valuable items to protect them in case of theft. Whatever you decide, don't leave them just sitting in that box forever. Find out what you have. Set up a private appointment with Jesse and his team at Littleton Jewelry today. Custom jewelry for life.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. A few more minutes here with Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you're just joining us, 720-895-0500 is the number. We've been going through a lot about the process, what's involved in getting a mortgage. And one more question on that, Kurt, and then I want to talk about maybe some investment property. But here's one thing that kind of gets people sometimes. If I provided my tax return, why do I need my W-2s also?
Fraud. You not only, if you have your tax returns, they want the W-2s because the W-2s have to match the tax returns. If they don't, why? If you say on your tax returns you make $120,000, your W-2 shows $110,000, why?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for fraud, misrepresentation. They then require a tax transcript. Now, it used to be when you did a loan, you gave it to us, and our lender would order the tax transcript. Could take 10 days, 2 weeks. The IRS, back in March, because of COVID, basically shut down, so they didn't want to have to deal with the lenders sending in all the requests. They now have a website that we send over a letter to the customer. They go on the website, put in their personal information, boom, there's your transcript. They copy it, send it to us, we're done. The tax transcript is a condensed version of your tax return that you filed with them.
Okay.
So if your tax return doesn't match the tax transcript, why? They're not saying you're lying. Why is there a mistake? And you'd be surprised. Probably 10% of the time, the CPA has done a new tax return and sent it in. Didn't send it in, but did a new tax return. So I got the old tax return with a new transcript. Now, why? Mm-hmm. Well, then the CPA has to get involved, say, okay, we made these changes. Here it is. So gotcha. Those are the reasons that they want they want to make sure that there's no fraudulent activity going on.
Right.
Because you would be surprised how people go about doing things. Dead people vote. That people buy homes. Sorry, I mean, that's the easiest way I can relate.
No doubt. All right, 3 or 4 minutes left here, but let's kind of talk about investment property for those that are maybe thinking about that. They've heard our shows, you know, with Mike Hills and all talking about this.
He's going to be here next week.
All right, what's kind of the initial conversation when people first say, hey, I think I want to do this? What do you ask them mainly?
Okay, why? What are you looking to gain out of investment property? What have you been told that investment property will do? Some people will give you, I want to fix and flip it. Okay. You understand the risk. I want to keep it for a period of time. Okay. What are you going to charge? Understand that there's a fee every month that you're going to end up paying for maintenance. You might pay $2,500 in a year, but you better figure $200 a month to get to the $25.
Sure.
So we kind of walk through the process. Investment opportunities right now are amazing. There's a lot of people buying an investment. I have several borrowers who own several pieces of rental property and are constantly looking for more because they think it's a good time. Because no matter what happens in the future, as people keep moving to Colorado, or even if the economy goes down, people, if they lose a home, they still have to have a place to rent. So renting property rentals are good, and they're doing it now because the rates are so low. It's a tremendous opportunity to cash flow better when you're buying investment property. Right. So now's a good time for that. In addition to that, I have a lender now that whether you work or not, you can buy an investment property. If you put 25% down and you have a 680 credit score or above, as long as the rent being received is more than the payment on that loan, you're in. Now think about that for a minute. You buy a fourplex at $500,000 and you put your money down and you got a payment of $2,300. Well, you're collecting $4,000. So you're cash flowing at $1,700. You got a $680. They don't care if you got a job. You're done.
Wow.
So they've so firmly believe that the market is going to keep going strong in that they've come out with that loan because it's a great investment. The bank's protected because you're putting money down. You're cash flowing, you're doing well. If you're self-employed and you want to buy investment property, you got a little bit of money you want to put down to buy a property, you can buy a single family, a condo, as long as the payment that you're going to receive in rent is higher than the payment on the mortgage that you're making. And you have a 680, you're approved. They don't want your taxes. They don't want W-2s. They don't want any of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that just came out. So it's I've already informed Mike and a couple other people, and they're very excited about doing it. If you own rental property, same scenario. Let's say you own rental property, and your house is worth $4,000 and you owe $100,000, and you want $100,000. They will give you, they'll refinance your home up to 65% loan-to-value, cash out, 680 and above, again, rents higher than what the payment is. No questions asked. Done. So there's a lot of people with rental properties that can pull out cash, $100,000, go buy another one.
Sure.
And improve their scenario. And again, the advantage of rental property is you're not paying it off. Somebody else is paying it off. You get the income, and then you get the passive income once it's done,
right,
and you get the equity. So it's a win-win across the board. They've given you an opportunity now to get in the door for a whole lot easier.
Right. Your disclosure, sir.
7400 East Arapaho Road, Suite 109, Centennial, Colorado. Our phone number is 720-895-0500. We are regulated by the Division of Real Estate and an equal credit lender. Our email address is aimortgage.net.
Appreciate it, Kurt.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the day.
720-895-0500. Give Kurt a call. Thank you so much for being with us. Get out and enjoy this beautiful weather, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.